And before we open the scriptures, we'll just take time for prayer for the Lord to bless us, shall we pray? Our God and our Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we bow in thy presence and give thee thanks for the great things that thou hast done for mankind in the giving of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die upon a cross, to do away with the principle of sin once and for all. Our Father, this evening we give thee thanks that thy beloved Son was buried, he died, was buried, and he rose again the third day. And we believe tonight he sat exalted, sat at thy right hand. And we bless thee, our God, this evening we can preach a risen Saviour that can change lives, and can change lives for the glory of thy name. Our Father, we do ask that thou wouldst bless us this evening. We do pray, O God, that thou wouldst speak to every heart in the meeting, and that those that are saved might rejoice that the gospel is preached, and sinners might rejoice in the knowledge of sins forgiven. Bless us this evening, we pray, in the Saviour's name. Amen. Now, if you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the second book of Corinthians, and chapter 6. We're just going to read one verse, or even a part of a verse. It says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And we know that God will bless his word to us. I count it a privilege to be here this evening, and we do trust that as we share with you something in the gospel, that God might bless it to you. It's quite simply my desire this evening, and my Father's going to do the same. We're going to tell you how God saved us, how God saved me, because, you know, just because I was maybe brought up in a Christian home, which I was, that doesn't make me a Christian. It doesn't set me anywhere nearer heaven than anybody else that's born into this world. The reason why I quoted that verse in 2 Corinthians 6, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation," is because I want to impress upon every heart in the meeting tonight that time is of an essence as far as God is concerned, and time is of an essence as far as heaven is concerned. There is a verse in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and speaking to the Christians, it says this, that now is your salvation, now is the coming of the Lord nearer than the day we were first saved. That's the teaching of the verse. And what I want to bring out this evening is this, that I was saved 10 years ago. And my father was saved significantly a few more years before that. And my Bible teaches me this, that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, which has already been spoken of. And from the day I was saved, the day I became a Christian, 10 years has passed. And I want to impress upon every heart in the meeting tonight that time is critical. The other reason why I quoted that verse is this. There are 3 days for which I thank God for. And one of them I don't really associate with them, but I'm going to link it in. And it's this. In Galatians, it teaches me this, that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his own Son. And I thank God for the day when he sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, because that day, here came the Lamb of God. Here was a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that came to take away sin, as John the Baptist said. Now we'll put that by itself. The other 2 days which I thank God for is this. The first one is March the 17th in 1951. It's the day my father was saved. And the third day is my own salvation, January the 19th in 1984. I thank God for the first day because here, God sent a hope into this world. And God was going to provide a way for men and women to be in heaven and have a relationship with the God of heaven. Now I want to speak to those that have been brought up in a Christian home just now, and you know nothing of God's salvation. The reason why I thank God for the second date I mentioned is this. You know, sometimes we only need to go back one generation or two generations. And out of nowhere, God saved a boy, God saved a mother, God saved a father. And it gave me the opportunity of coming under the sound of God's word. And it gave me the opportunity of coming into a gospel hall like this and listening for words of life from the God of heaven. Now, can I speak to an individual in the meeting tonight? And you've maybe been brought up in a Christian home. And you maybe despise the fact that your parents bring you here. And you maybe get discouraged at the fact that you've got to come here on a Sunday night. Listen, you've got more of a hope of finding God and finding Christ than any man in Vancouver that's never heard the gospel, that's maybe never opened a Bible. And I bless God for the fact that he took dealings with my own father and out of nowhere took one boy and saved him. It brought me into a position for which I believe I've been held responsible. You know, my earliest recollections of the gospel are just sat in meetings like this. No different to sat here tonight. Men got up and they opened the scriptures. And they told me that God loved me. And they told me that if I didn't accept the message of the gospel, that I would one day be separated from God in the lake of fire. And I was told week after week after week, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now listen, we are not guaranteed of tomorrow. And I'm not preaching anything here tonight that's never been told before. And I'm not being told anything that I was never told myself as a boy. You know, the scriptures, they tell me that God will not always strive with man. And the scriptures teach that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And those two verses were implanted in my mind as a young boy. You know, my first recollection of my need of salvation was as a boy of six. Now, if I tell you, if I was born in 66 and I was saved in 84, I was saved when I was 17 years of age. And yet from the age of 6 until the age of 17, I thought I'd have another day. I thought I'd have another time. We're not guaranteed it. You know, I remember as a boy of 6, some of you have heard some of the carry-ons that we had as kids as we've been talking over the last couple of weeks. But my parents bought me a wee gun. Nothing wild, but even so, I remember somebody saying to me, what was the best present you got for your birthday? You know, and I can still picture this black gun with a white handle. And I said it was that. You know, deep down in my own heart and to myself, I knew the truth of Romans chapter 3, which says the gift of God is eternal life. And I remember saying to one person in my own, I can even hear myself saying now, the best present I've got is this gun. Yet, I knew within my own heart, as a boy of 6, just as a wee boy, I knew that what I really wanted was the gift of God, which is eternal life. Now, can I impress upon someone's soul tonight the gift of God, which is eternal life? Eternal life means, my friend, that we're going to live. And yes, we may die, but there's going to come a day when we'll live forever with Christ in heaven. We haven't got time to develop these, but if you were to read through the scriptures, they're quite clear. That yes, I'm afraid of dying. Sure, if somebody was to stand in front of me and they were threatening my life, I'd be frightened. But I'm not frightened of death. See, because I know there's going to come a time when I might pass from life into death, but I'll pass into the presence of Christ in heaven. But I knew the gift of God, which was eternal life. Predominantly from the ages of about 6 or 7 up to about 14 or so, I just went to all the meetings, went to conferences, went to Bible readings. But you know, they never saved me. And I wouldn't like just to speak to the people that have been brought up in a Christian home. And you thank God that you might be able to look back one generation, maybe two, maybe even 3 generations, where God has saved a soul. I'd like to speak to those that may be here tonight, and they think it's good to come here on a Sunday night. You know, I earned a Bible through quoting John 3, and yet I could have ended up in the lake of fire, separated from God, separated from Christ. Knowing your Bible, being able to quote your Bible, coming to the gospel hall on a Sunday night will never, never save you. And I knew the truth of this, that I could come every Sunday night for every time, for every Sunday that God could give upon this earth. And if I did nothing about it, it would do my soul no good for eternity. We obviously haven't got a lot of time, so I'm going to move on. I remember sat in gospel meetings, and I remember the Spirit of God speaking with me. You know, we talk about conviction of the Holy Ghost, and we sometimes wonder what it is. I believe it's quite simply this: God, through the power of the Spirit, will trouble you, will make you concerned about your own sin in the presence of God. There is one thing that was brought evidently before me as a boy, and it was this: sin separates me from God. But we've already quoted that God is not willing that any should perish, and it was God's desire that I should be in heaven with him in a day to come, and whilst we were here on earth, we would have a relationship with God. I had the truth brought before me that the reason why Christ died upon the cross was because he loved me. And I'll present that to everybody in the meeting tonight. Christ came into this world, my friend, not to set a good example, not just to reveal himself. Yes, he did. In all of these, Christ came into this world to offer himself as a sacrifice for sin. You see, that which separates me from God must be judged. That which will one day keep me out of heaven must be judged. And God must judge sin in a sacrifice which he can find acceptable. And what did he say about Christ? When Christ was here upon this earth, he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In the person of Christ, God could see, he could bring offer, he could accept the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. And I believe that's tonight why we can read in the scriptures that God has exalted him far above all principalities and power. Tonight, my friend, you can have a relationship with a real man in heaven that sat at God's right hand for a man that's died upon a cross 2,000 years ago. Listen, the story of Christ is not a myth. It's not just some story that's been concocted. Christ is central to time. He's central to the message of the gospel, and he's central to your life and to my life in the meeting. You know, we had gospel meetings, a series of gospel meetings in Manchester over 2 years, in 1982 and in 1983. I suppose I should go back just for a second. I remember certain times, you see, that's why I read the verses. Behold, now is the accepted time. I remember having meetings in 1980 in a place called Basingstoke, down in the south of England. Father was having meetings there for 5 or 6 weeks. It was summer holidays or vacation, as you call them. And we went down there for 2 or 3 weeks. And at one meeting, there was a good godly man that's now gone to heaven. And he came out of those meetings and he said to me, "Andrew, are you well?" I said, "I'm fine." He said, "Are you enjoying your holiday?" I said, "I sure am. You know, 14 or so, having fun on a farm." He said, "Is it well with your soul?" It'll hit me like a bullet. Most of us would know the hymn. It's a verse, it's a line from a hymn. You see, my friend, that soul of yours and that life of yours must have dealings with the God of heaven. And that night I knew I had no peace in my own life. And yet I knew the truth of this, that now is the accepted time. And I knew on those days in July and August of 1980 that I should have done something about it, but I put it off. Listen, friend, 10 years has gone by, and the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You may never get tomorrow. Christ may come from heaven tonight, even before this meeting is over. That was about July or August of 1980. In October of 1980, we were down in Northampton for the weekend, another part of the south of England, and again there was gospel meetings there. We went into the meeting that night. Message was the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have a twin brother, most of you may know. Both sat together. As we walked out of the meeting, and I'm certainly not going to do it to you, and I certainly don't advocate it, but this chap buttonholed the pair of us. And he said to my brother, "Are you saved?" He said, "Yeah." I thought, well, he wasn't when he went in. See the difference time can make? He went in at 6:30 on the road to a lost eternity without Christ, and he was walking out of there 1 hour later, and if Christ had come that night, or if God had taken his life, he would have been in heaven. 1 hour. Fraction of a time, second of time, just sat there on his seat at the end of a meeting. And he came to this realization that when God sent Christ into this world, it was to do away with sin. You see, you and I still sin. We still fail God. But the fact is this, that there is a principle of sin. There is sin in our life that's going to keep me out of heaven. And he realized this truth, that Christ died upon a cross. God judged Christ. And Christ took all the judgment that he should have deserved. And he acknowledged this truth, that he needed to repent towards God and put his faith in Christ. Why is it in that order? Because it's against God that we've sinned. And tonight, in the message of the gospel, we urge you to do this. Put your faith and trust in the work of Christ. When Christ died upon the cross, that work is sufficient for you and I for salvation. There's a verse in Ephesians says, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I've said this before in other platforms, I'll say it again. But we know what we're all like. We all like to boast, don't we? Can you imagine getting into heaven up on your own works and your own merits? What would it be like? I'd say to you, how did you get into heaven? You'd say, well, I've done this and I've done this. And I'd pull my jacket on and says, yes, but I've done this. And I'd make it look better than you. Can you see what I'm getting at? The only way you can get into heaven, the only way we can find acceptance with God, is through the cross of Christ. And if we're prepared to acknowledge that truth, I believe you're one step nearer God's salvation. And there was nothing that I could do, and there was nothing my brother could have done that night, other than acknowledge his sin, acknowledge before God that he'd fallen short of God's standard. Acknowledge that God must judge his sin, but he judged it in the person of Christ. And he accepted Christ as his own Saviour. And he acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord of his own life. You know, that night there was a young man took me out onto the street. And he took me to the street corner. And he said, Andrew, he said, if you were to walk across this road and a car was to come and kill you, where would you be? See, I knew the truth of the scriptures. And the truth of the scriptures are quite clear, my friend. That God loves you. God sent his son to die upon the cross for you. He sent his son to die upon the cross for me. And Christ went through all the agony and the sufferings of the cross so that you might have salvation and I might have salvation. Yet the scriptures is also quite clear of this, that if we reject the gospel, God will cast us into the lake of fire. And I turned around to my friend that night and I said, if I was to cross this road and I was to be killed in a car accident or whatever, I'd be end up in hell. You know, I was this far away from accepting Christ. We sung it in one of the hymns, didn't we? Have you any time for Jesus? And the verses tell us there that if we've only got today, we need to let him in now. You know, a month later I was up in Scotland. And the preacher there spoke on this was the theme of his message, so near and yet so far. And you know, I knew that night, just going back 4 weeks before, I knew that that night I should have trusted Christ. But I put the matter off, because I thought I'd have more time. I thought another day of salvation had come my way. Bless God that it was the case. And I can remember that night sat in the meeting. and acknowledging that I must do something about my own sin, and I must accept Christ as my Saviour, and yet I still did nothing about it. Listen, friend, God is not willing that any should perish, but there's going to come a time when he's going to send Christ into this world, and the opportunity will be gone. The day of salvation may finish tonight. You know, it wasn't until 4 years later that I acknowledged Christ as my Saviour. You know, I'm just going to bring for you two more significant events that were, shall we say, chains in the links of my own salvation. There's an assembly in Manchester in England. They had gospel meetings, and they took a tent out to one of the parks in the city, and they brought the same preacher along, two different preachers along for 2 different years. You know, I went to every single one of those meetings. And it certainly wasn't out of choice, I'll tell you that. It was because my parents had a desire to see me saved. Now, I know I'm a young man and I'm not married and so on, but I'd like to encourage all the parents in the meeting. If you've got children, bring them up in the gospel, won't you? I've got friends of mine that I've grown up with, and they're as far away from God as you'll ever see them. Yet they have the responsibility of listening to the gospel, but the parents never really encouraged them. And one of the young men I used to play football with, soccer as you call it, every 2 or 3 times a week, is out in Bosnia at the moment. And like that, he could be shot, he could be killed. Totally rejected the gospel. His parents never encouraged him. My parents made sure I was at these meetings. Every single solitary night, now, it's nothing miraculous. You read the Gospel of John. Jesus Christ taught the disciples how the Holy Spirit of God was going to work. But all I can say is this. I was troubled about my sin. I was troubled about the fact that I could be separated from my family if Christ was to come. Because I had 2 older sisters. And I had a twin brother that were both saved. Now, I'm not trying to be dramatic, I'm just going to give you my own experience of the very last night of those meetings. The preacher gave an illustration of a man that had 4 children, and he was literally on his deathbed. And he brought his wife and his 4 children into the room, and he said, "Good night, I'll see you in the morning." And what he had in mind was this: he was saying goodbye to this world down here, and he was saying he was going to see them in a day to come in heaven. He was saying good morning, referring to a morning that's going to come. And he said it to his wife, and to the oldest, and to the second, and to the third. And he came to the youngest, and he just said good night. And the young boy said to him, "Father," he said, "why have you said good night to see in the morning to my brothers and my mother, but not for me?" And his father looked him in the eye and said, "I mean, I'll see you in the morning." You see, I knew what the preacher. He didn't need to explain that. Maybe there's something underneath me. You maybe don't need me to explain that. You may know what I'm getting at. Listen, friends, you want to know what the hope is for every Christian? Christianity is not just some mere religion. Christianity gives me hope. Gives me hope that one day I'll be in heaven with Christ for all eternity. You know, people think they've got all the pleasures and all the fun and everything else. My brother-in-law, who enjoyed all those, there's plenty of fun out there. But it's only for a season. And it doesn't give you hope, and it doesn't give you satisfaction. My hope is this, that I can call God my Father. I can acknowledge in the presence of God that God sees me as if I've never sinned. I have this hope that one day Christ will come to the air and take us to be with himself in heaven forever. Tell me anything else on this world that gives you that hope. You know, those 2 boys came to my door about 3 or 4 months ago. And they started to propagate some nonsense. I didn't really pay too much attention to it. I just said to them this: if you can offer me something better than what I've got already, then I'll sit and listen. He said, "What have you got?" I said, "Peace with God." I said, "Sins forgiven." I said, "A hope in heaven that I'll never ever see the lake of fire." That's my hope tonight. You can have that hope. There's dozens of us here. We enjoy the hope of peace with God. If you want it, you can have it if you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your own Saviour. Anyway, the preacher that night, he said, good night, I'll see you in the morning. You know, as I walked out of that hall, that tent that night, he shook me by the hand and he grabbed hold of my hand. And he said, Andrew, he said, good night. You see, he knew me. And he knew I wasn't saved and he knew I was troubled. But you know what one of the biggest stumbling blocks in my life was this? Do you know, after every meeting, the people out of the meeting, they went out there and they laughed and they joked and they were talking about this, that and the other. And you know, the devil snatched away the concern that was in my own heart. The devil snatched away the very breath of life that was almost there for me to grasp. A few months later, I got a letter from a friend. You know, I was saved from this verse that she wrote to me, but you know, for some strange reason, I've never been able to quote it properly. So I'm going to read it from the scriptures. There's an old man at home that says, either quote scripture right or not at all. I think he has a point. But you know, there's a verse in Psalm 51. And David, he had sinned before God. And it says, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me wisdom. And then at the end of that chapter it says this, and this is the verse that really spoke to me. It said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Listen now, and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, I'd been brought up under the gospel, and I brought before you truths that are contained in God's word this evening. And I trust in a small way, I brought before you the hope that you can have as far as Christianity is concerned. That we don't just come here because it's a nice thing to do on a Sunday evening, but there's reality in the gospel and there's reality in faith in Christ. You know, my father had meetings in Jersey, and I thought when I came home from school that day, what shall I do? Mothers are quite perceptive, aren't they? I'm sure some of us know that. You know, I walked in that night, my mother said, what's up? I said, oh, nothing. And I just went upstairs. Came downstairs 5 minutes later, she says, what's up? I says, Mother, I want to be saved. She said to me, well, you know how to. I said, I do. Rung my father up in Jersey. You know, it's almost as if he was shrugging his shoulders and say, what can I say? I knew this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I knew when Christ said, I am the way, the truth and the life. I knew all the gospel messages. I remember one day coming home from a ministry meeting, and my mother asked one of the sisters in the meeting, what did the speaker speak on? And she couldn't remember, and I gave her virtually every word, and yet I wasn't saved. And I knew this. And yet I could have ended in hell that night. I said, you'd better call one of the elders from the assembly round. I can see him sat in the front room. He said, can I help you? I said, I want to be saved. And he almost did the same. He almost shrugged his shoulders as if to say, what can I do? Listen, is there anyone in here in the meeting tonight? You know God's word? You know the truth of the gospel and you're doing nothing about it? Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You may go out of this hall and may never, ever return. You know, that's the reality of the gospel. It's the reality of life. But I came to that realization, 10 to 8, January the 19th in 1984, that I must do something about my life and between myself and the God of heaven. And just quite simply, 17 years of age, knowing the gospel, probably had life before me, had everything that this world could have offered, no doubt. I acknowledged before God I was a sinner. You know, it's easy to acknowledge that everyone else is a sinner. To acknowledge, excuse me, that you're a sinner. And that's the truth of the gospel. Do you know, if you cannot accept the fact that you're a sinner, You're no nearer God's salvation than no man that's ever seen a Bible in his life. You must acknowledge that you are a sinner in the sight of God. And that night I just confessed my sin before God. And I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my own life. You know, there's a change. Nothing miraculous. The room didn't start swirling. There's those bright lights. Do you want to know what the change was? And this is an encouragement to me, and I trust it's an encouragement to some of us here. Somebody says to me, how do you know you're going to heaven? How do you know that you're a Christian? I can only explain it in this way. Before I was saved, as I've already pointed out, I was troubled about my sin. God spoke to me, and it just concerned me the fact that one day I may be separated from God forever. You know, from that day to now, the principle of sin, that which will keep me out of heaven, that which will keep me separated from God, has never bothered me that much. Yes, I fail God at times, and yes, I fail my fellow brethren and my fellow sisters. But the fact that that principle which will keep me out of heaven, which is sin, has been dealt with once and for all. And it's never ever going to rise in the presence of God forever. You know, there's a truth in the scriptures, and it's called justification. It's a long word, but it quite simply means this: I'm cleared of every charge by the blood of Christ. In other words, God has said you're a sinner. He sent Christ into this earth to die upon the cross. He shed blood. And God says, if those two meet, I'm a sinner, and the blood of Christ can wash that sin away. God can look at me as if I've never sinned. You want to be in that position tonight? You want to be in the position where God looks on you as if you've never sinned? You can have it tonight if you're prepared to acknowledge Christ as your Saviour. I'm just going to say one last thing. That was just the start of my life as a Christian. In September of that year, I was baptised. Do you know, there were people that thought I was saved, they thought I was baptised, and they thought I came to the local assembly in Manchester. And then they found out I wasn't baptised in assembly fellowship, and they spoke to me about that. And then they found out I wasn't baptised, and they spoke to me about that, and they found out I wasn't saved. Now, I wasn't trying to live the life of a Christian. If somebody asked me was I saved, I'd say no. The reason why I'm saying that is this: it's easy to carry a Bible, and it's easy to come here and know nothing of God's salvation. And it's easy to put a front onto the people out there, and it's easy to put a front onto the people here. Don't try and mix the two, will you? Don't try and mock God and try and be a Christian when you're not. The scripture teaches that we must be baptized. The scripture teaches us that we must grow, just like normal everyday growth. You see, when I was saved, I was born again. God gave in me a new life, and that life must be fed. Some babies here in the meeting, if you don't feed them, they'll die. If your parents had not fed you, you would have died. And so that's why there's necessity to read the Word of God daily. That's why it's necessity to keep communion with God through prayer. And I knew the truth of baptism. And baptism, quite simply, is this: I'm saying I'm not going to have anything to do with that outside. I'm going to make sure that my life, by the strength and the power of God, is lived to the glory of God. As I've said, there are times that I fail. And there are times that we still fall short, but I know this, that the work of Christ upon the cross is enough to take me to heaven one day, and it's enough for me to live for Christ down here. It's enough for me to be obedient to the Lord, and to be baptised, and to join an assembly. I didn't join an assembly because I've been brought up in it. I joined the assembly because I believe it's how God would have us together, and it's where God would have us to be. Now, probably taking up a wee bit more time than expected, but we trust that God will bless you. As we've heard of our own testimony, we trust that you might tonight consider the message of the gospel and acknowledge that there is a hope in Christ, there is a hope in heaven which you can have, and you might come to know him, come to know his life.
It's salvation, Jesus Christ.